In December, the Public Service Commission recommended that the Citizens Utility Board continue to receive $300,000 a year, money paid by utility customers. Then the PSC said, as a grant recipient, CUB has been forthcoming, prudent, and worthy of this nominal award, and the benefits of this grant can be shown in the increased and beneficial participation of CUB in commission cases since 2011. But the Joint Finance Committee on April 15th voted to repeal the law authorizing that grant. So thanks to two officials on both sides of that issue for joining me to talk about it. Thanks to Kira Lair, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board, and Steve Boss, Vice President of Governmental Affairs, Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Thanks. You disagree, but we're going to do this respectfully. I really appreciate that. Let's start with a basic overview statement. Why should CUB continue to get $300,000, Kira?
I think it's important for the consumers of Wisconsin. CUB is the only advocate for consumer utility consumers statewide, and they have been for over 35 years, and as such, CUB has developed a level of expertise that allows it to participate in these cases on a very nominal budget, as the Public Service Commission noted, and providing great savings to the residential and small business customers that we represent. Just last year alone, CUB saved electric customers in the state more than $161 million at a cost of about $470,000. That's a bargain you can't get anywhere else, and I can't understand why it shouldn't be continued.
Steve, I read in the Journal Sentinel that MMAC lobbied against that $300,000. Why?
Well, I think CUB does a very good job portraying itself as the consumer advocate, but in truth, they are one voice in a number of advocacy groups that speak for ratepayers and consumers. What the state did in 2009 is they put their finger on the scale in favor of one of those voices that argues before the PSC and advocates on behalf of ratepayers and consumers at the disadvantage to all others, including chambers, including groups like Clean Wisconsin, Renew, you know, WMC, MMAC, anyone else who would come before the commission. Now, you can make the playing field level by giving all of us a state subsidy, or you can make the playing field level by having us all compete on equal terms and not having the state pick and choose winners and subsidize one voice in this discussion over others.
Let's go back in history. In 2009, Kira, that was when CUB was actually earmarked for the $300,000. I just want to follow up and put in context what Steve said, right?
No, and this is actually one of those statements that I think is a little misleading, because the statute doesn't say a word about CUB. It says that
a nonprofit
group organization, right,
advocating on behalf of, go ahead,
on behalf of ratepayers can apply for up to a $300,000 grant, and it's multiple organizations can apply and receive subset of that amount. And the maximum amount to be total awarded is $300,000. And CUB has been the applicant, and CUB has been the one that the Public Service Commission has chosen to award this grant to. But it has always been within the Public Service Commission's discretion to do anything different with respect to that. It's a discretionary statute. It's not a mandate. So this is not an earmark for CUB. This is something that CUB competes for and has been awarded.
Any response quickly?
Well, I mean, we see this in state legislation all the time about, you know, oh, we're not doing something specifically for this city, but we're doing a city of this size located here. The simple fact is, CUB is the only organization who has benefited and been a recipient of this grant funding.
And that's something that I want to address, because then I don't understand who the other organizations are who are representing ratepayers. If there are other organizations representing ratepayers, then they ought to be able to apply for this grant and be a recipient of it. So either there aren't other organizations representing ratepayers and CUB is the one who has been able to apply and receive the award, or something else is going on here.
Well, let me ask the question this
sure.
way. Would MMAC qualify under the criteria, nonprofit, someone who advocates for its members or members of that local community?
We'd have to look very closely at the language to see if we could shoehorn our organization into it. I think it's more fair all the way around for the state not to be picking and choosing one voice in a cacophony of different ratepayer voices that appear before the Public Service Commission, rather than trying to place them in competition for the state money. Why don't we put their ideas in competition before the impartial Public Service Commission?
Okay. Well, let's go through the motion, Motion 29, passed by the Joint Finance Committee 12-4 on April 15th. It would repeal the authorization. My source on this is the Fiscal Bureau. It would repeal the authorization for $300,000 per year to subsidize Citizens Utility Board, although I understand.
Thank you.
It doesn't exactly say Citizens Utility Board, but as you said, that's your organization has been the only one qualifying for it.
Oh, that's not correct. We've just been the only one who have applied.
The only one who applied. Okay. Point two, require interveners in PSC cases to pay 50% of the cost of expert witnesses. Now, if the expert witness cost is approved by the PSC, 100% can be paid. Did MMAC lobby this provision too? If so, why?
Absolutely, yeah.
Why?
I think what you want is you want everybody who is appearing and accessing those intervener compensation funds to be responsible, and to we want them to go as far as possible. And I think requiring organizations applying for those ratepayer dollars to have a skin in the game serves both those purposes. It ensures it creates a check within the system that people won't be frivolously bringing costs to the system, and it also, we hope, makes that intervener compensation fund go further and lets it cover more applicants for the compensation who have legitimate claims on that.
There's that phrase, skin in the game. I heard that mm-hmm. by members of Joint Finance, but I want to give you a chance. The intervener provision.
Mm-hmm.
Now, CUB has received this intervener money, correct?
Yes, along with several other groups.
Yeah, a lot of organizations.
A lot of groups, and they include
that.
SOL, Save Our Unique Lands, Renew Wisconsin, Clean Wisconsin, Sierra Club. What would be the impact of this intervener provision if it were signed into law, Kira?
It would be devastating because there's actually a third component to what the Joint Finance Committee did. They didn't just require a 50% matching. They also cut the intervener compensation fund in half from its current levels. So that makes the amount of funds available considerably less than they have been in over 20 years. And requires entities and organizations and individuals who seek to use the fund to pay 50% of the cost for it. This skin in the game argument has been fascinating because CUB has members. CUB has members on fixed incomes who are elderly, who provide what they can afford in the $1, $5, $10 amounts of contributions. CUB has a vested interest in participating in these cases. What's strange, though, is that the utilities actually get all of their costs to advocate for their cases paid for by ratepayers with no skin in the game. They can use whatever amounts they want to hire outside consultants and lawyers and have their own staff advocate for hundreds of millions of dollars in rate cases on a yearly basis. And now this would cripple the opposing voice's ability to participate in that process.
Well, I really appreciate the civil nature of this. So I want to give you a chance
sure.
to respond. Skin in the game context?
Well, and Kira raises an interesting point about utilities. That's not what this motion was about, though. I mean, if she wanted to bring a motion changing the way the commission deals with utilities, that's certainly within her purview or CUB's purview. This deals with the intervener side of it, for the voices who are intervening in these cases before mm-hmm. the PSC, the individuals and groups, like Kira said. And, you know, the MMAC has members too. We have members. The difference right now, though, between the MMAC and our advocacy and CUBS under the current structure is all of our funding comes through voluntary contributions from members for whom we have to make a value proposition and convince them that it's worth their investment. Now, CUB traditionally did that. I mean, for a quarter century, they made the case to ratepayers all over the state. Those ratepayers funded them, and they survived since 1986 in that nonprofit status. You look at their website, they talk about the donations of their people. Since 2009, however, that changed, and they have been subsidized by the state. So you went from a system where they were funding their activity based on voluntary contributions from ratepayers to a system where they're funding their activity based on involuntary contributions taken from ratepayers. So it's a important difference, we think.
The last line in the Fiscal Bureau summary of Finance Motion 29 says, this would save utility ratepayers $1.3 million over the next 2 years. Co-chairman John Nygren said, this is going to save taxpayers $1.3 million. Is that really true, Karen?
No, it's not going to save taxpayers anything because it's not tax money. It's ratepayer money.
Mr. Nygren said taxpayers, but he should have said ratepayers, right?
Right.
Same context. But is there really going to be a savings?
No, it's not going to be noticeable. That's what the Cubs costs and the costs of the Intervenor Compensation Fund are so small in comparison to the roughly $8.1 billion a year that the utilities take in. And that's just the five major electric utilities.
Billion with a B?
Yes, with a B.
Okay, the five major utilities.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And I also wanted to get back to something that Steve said. You mentioned, I think, that Cub can just go back to the way it was. But the problem is, the way it was before 2009, Cub relied heavily on the Intervenor Compensation Fund. At that time, the fund had an annual budget of about $750,000 a year, and Cub would apply on a case-by-case basis for costs for outside lawyers, outside consultants, and its staff. So that's where the money came from before 2009, in addition to the contributions from members. And that's also very similar to the way four out of five states around the country handle these type of consumer advocate offices. Because we are advocating on behalf of individual consumers across the state who it is difficult to otherwise aggregate, ratepayers and taxpayers have historically funded these types of offices. And we do it, as I mentioned before, for lower cost than every other consumer advocate office in the country. The average for those other 41 offices of consumer advocates is 10 staff and an annual budget of $2 million. We have four staff, and the comparison of what we are able to do with those funds and the amount of savings that we achieve is incomparable.
On your website, you say that the joint finance motion, if it becomes part of the budget, signed into law, would cripple Cub. If you lose the $300,000 plus the intervener money, would it end Cup? Would you go out of business, Gary?
We're trying to figure out what we would do in that situation. We're trying to solicit contributions from members, and who's harmed in this instance at this point is the utility consumer, because the cases are still going on. The Wisconsin Public Service Corporation, the electric and natural gas utility up in Green Bay, just last week filed for a 9.4% electric rate increase. That's going to harm electric customers in that service territory if they don't have a sophisticated, experienced voice in there advocating on their behalf.
Is MMAC trying to put Cub out of business, Steve?
No, and I think this is one of the misconceptions that's being pushed by opponents of this motion. This isn't about Cub. This is about all ratepayers mattering and all ratepayers having the same voice before the Independent Public Service Commission. I mean, Cub does a very good job marketing themselves as the consumer voice. The Cowboys do a very good job marketing themselves as America's team, but it doesn't mean everybody in America is spoken for by the Cowboys. They don't get five downs. They don't get 8 points for a touchdown. And right now here in Wisconsin, you have one self-proclaimed consumer advocate getting a special advantage that others don't. That's unfair to everybody. This isn't about putting Cub out of business. And another thing, and this is I want to compliment Kira and Cub on the work they do. I think they have a compelling story to tell about their value that would be very marketable to consumers, I would think. And if they are providing the value that they actually are, they shouldn't have to survive and subsist on government charity. They should be able to voluntarily get people to invest in the work they're doing.
If this motion becomes law, who's going to stand up for all the people who you are well aware the PSC process is so complex, so drawn out, so cumbersome? Who is going to be the champion of the 70-year-old ratepayer for MG&E? Who is?
Well, there are a lot of groups out there who are champions for various ratepayer groups. I mean, you talked about some of them. You talked about Renew, you got Save Our Unique Lands, you have WEG out there, you have WMC, you have MMAC, you have different people with different constituencies. I even think Kira would probably admit that she doesn't, and Cub doesn't speak for every 70-year-old in this state in terms of their opinions on a utility issue. I think also one of the things that's been lost in this whole discussion, and I think it's a shame, is there's a reason we have an impartial public service commission. A public service commission that does not stand for election, isn't partisan, has a staff that is independent, I think it's an insult to the Public Service Commission to suggest that without MMAC, without CUB, without any of these interest groups, the Public Service Commission is somehow just a rubber stamp for utility requests. That's an insult to the work they do that. Whether I exist, whether CURA exists, whether organizations exist, the PSC and their staff is still going to be thoroughly vetting any request that comes into them from utilities and making modifications.
Well, having had Kira as a guest on the show before, I know she wants to respond to that.
I do.
But the framework of this is what your website said and what you alluded to earlier. Since 2008, CUB has helped reduce utility bills in Wisconsin by almost $3 billion. There's the B word. Mm-hmm. 2014 alone, CUB helped to cut more than $161 million of utility proposed increases out of customer bills. Do you agree with that, Steve?
I think it's a little bit of the crowing rooster taking credit for the sunrise. CUB advocated on these things. Is CUB the only person looking at those issues? Is CUB the only reason that utility requests are modified? I think that's a bit of a stretch, a little bit of puffery that you get on websites. They're an advocate. They're one voice in this process. But again, it goes back to an independent public service commission with a very professional and thorough staff that looks at these things and listens to all the voices in the discussion and then makes their rulings.
Will you accept, thank you for your patience, will you accept the premise, though, that CUB's activities have saved you as one utility customer maybe a little bit of money?
Perhaps a little. I would also suggest the premise that my work advocating on behalf of my members has saved them more than a little money in front of the PSC.
Okay,
as well.
Kira, thanks very much for your patience.
Sure.
Because now he's saying that our PSC would go through and prune some of these rate increases, and they're responsible for dialing them back, maybe a little bit more than CUB. Go for it. Your response.
Well, CUB always just advocates for a position that the Public Service Commission either accepts or rejects. But it's also misleading to say that the Public Service Commission staff can just step into this role. It's written into Wisconsin law that the Public Service Commission staff is there for informational purposes only. They're non-advocacy staff. They can't advocate for a particular position or for particular customers or for anything in particular. So it's not true just to say that they will be able to step into the shoes of anyone else who is not there. It's also true, and I actually think it's sort of emblematic of how this all occurred, that if you only have one voice telling you something, you're going to listen to that voice. So if what the Public Service Commission sees is the utility lawyers in front of it advocating for their positions and the rate increases that they want, and they don't have the countervailing voice on behalf of the residential consumers, then it's going to be much more difficult for them to make a balanced decision. And the environmental organizations and individual landowners who are impacted along the lines of transmission routes don't fill the same role that CUB has fulfilled over the last 35 years, which is to advocate on behalf of residential and small business utility customers across the state.
Well, we should have done this at the beginning. PSC deals with and rules on natural gas, water, electricity, where transmission lines are going to be located. What am I missing? Construction of power plants. Thank you. And there was just a major application for Beloit, which...
$775 million for a new natural gas plant.
I don't want to come back to that, but before I do, how do you score this? In other words, when you say on your website, 2014 alone, CUB helped to cut more than $161 million, how do you score that 161?
We look at the positions that we advocate for and the things that we investigate and find in each of the individual cases that we're a part of, and if the commission agreed with our recommendation, then we count that. So a significant chunk of that was from the We Energy's most recent rate case, including, I think it was about $42 million by itself for something called system support resource payments that are being made to We Energies for operating the Presque Isle power plant in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And this is just an example of one of those complicated things that arise in cases. It's a little difficult to just distill down, but basically CUB argued that the money for those that We Energies are receiving for that plant should be returned to customers and offset a proposed electric rate increase, and the commission agreed.
Have there been any filings by CUB that has angered MMAC members, your board of directors?
Well, there have been filings where we have been adverse in our opinions. Going back several rate cases, we've had different opinions. But I think a great example of how, you know, there are a lot of different voices in these things, and all ratepayers are not the same ratepayers, was one recently where we had a disagreement over how steam utility costs would be allocated in downtown Milwaukee. Cub had a position that would have nearly doubled steam utility costs for residential and businesses in downtown Milwaukee on the downtown steam network. Obviously, those ratepayers were not well served by the position that Cub advocated. We argued on another position. We argued a different position. In the end, we prevailed. But it's, you know, the PSC had both sides in front of it. They weighed them. In that case, they sided with our position. But I think it shows that, you know, every case is different, and there are different groups of ratepayers who sometimes have positions that are, well, both legitimate in an adversarial position to each other. And you don't want state government coming in and giving preferential treatment to one of those through funding and putting the other ones at a disadvantage or even a perceived disadvantage. You want a level playing field among all those voices.
Did any of these specific pleadings, filings by Cub, play a role in your decision to lobby against the $300,000?
No, this is a fairness thing that goes.
We Energy wants to buy this. What's the name of this giant company?
Integrus.
Integrus. They recently filed.
There's
that
a lot of conspiracy theorizing, and I think we can all get tied up in conspiracy. There's conspiracies over what happened in 2009 and how Cub got the grant or how the grant was created. I think we stay with reality rather than conspiracy, and this boils down to: should the state be subsidizing one consumer advocacy voice over against all the others on the playing field?
Okay, to be fair, Kira, do you feel that MMAC is lobbying against the $300,000 as a result of some of these recent positions that Cub has taken?
Well, I want to back up for a minute, too, and say this is not a state mandate to fund Cub. This is the same Public Service Commission that Mr. Boss just touted for their ability to weigh both sides, whether they have an advocate or not, has full discretion to do everything that Mr. Boss just got the Joint Finance Committee to put into law. The Public Service Commission could say, no, we don't want to fund Cub. They could reduce the award. They could cut the intervener compensation fund and require matching. They could limit who receives it and under what circumstances. This has been within the Public Service Commission's discretion since these came into being. So this is no state-funded subsidy. This is fully within the discretion of the agency that just 4.5 months ago lauded Cub for the good work that it does before them. And as to individual cases, if it is all about the Valley case, that's sort of incredible because that was one case where Cub argued on behalf of electric customers that they should pay for what they need and use. And this is an argument that the utilities make continually, and actually that Mr. Boss made on behalf of MMAC back in 2007 when he advocated for a 30% electric rate increase for We Energies. Cub was not in support of that electric rate increase. We thought it needed to be trimmed back and trimmed back quite a bit. We put several proposals in front of the commission, and the commission actually did trim it back quite a bit.
Well, she just went back to 2007. You have a great memory. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, sure. I mean, 2007, I mean, the context of this was we have a real reliability issue that we were dealing with. I mean, let's face it. We have a manufacturing-heavy economy. Metropolitan Milwaukee is the center of that. We cannot be operating like a third world country and having to worry about interrupted power supplies. And there was a substantial cost to a capacity build out to ensure reliability through the region. I think it's been borne out. I mean, We Energies has been ranked the most reliable utility in the nation for the past several years. But I think it really proves the point here. 2007, they were not receiving state subsidy. They successfully made a case that we disagreed with at the time at the chamber. And the PSC, the impartial PSC, ruled in their favor. They didn't need the state's finger on the scale, giving them additional funding, to win that. They won that on the merits, and they won it backed with financial support that they garnered voluntarily from their customers, from their ratepayers.
Did you,
Steve, in 2007, Cub actually got $550,000 in intervener compensation, which is more than we've received since receiving the 2009 grant. Okay. Part of what the 2009 annual grant did was actually reduce the amount of intervener compensation that Cub now applies for, so that the overall cost to ratepayers is actually less.
Okay, two final questions because we're almost out of time. Steve, do you think the intervener process giving money to Renew, Clean Wisconsin, Sierra Club, Soul, Save Our Unique Lands, has that been abused in the past?
I think there's potential for abuse because there's no skin required from participating companies. I think we can protect against that, and we can make sure that we're getting the maximum bang for the buck by just requiring some skin in the game from any organization. Okay. That applies for those limited funds.
And then, Kira, can you give us the context, some of the major rate increases and the construction projects that loom over the next 1, 2, and 3 years, mm-hmm. which you're going to say is one more reason why Cub should continue to get the $300,000? What's at stake for those of us that write out the monthly check or automatic deduction?
Yeah, as I mentioned, so there's starting off with Wisconsin Public Service Corporation's 9.4% electric rate increase, which is about $100 million for them that would take in effect January 1st of 2016. And then Alliant Energy has proposed, I think they've estimated the cost between $725 million and $775 million, a new natural gas-fired power plant. Wisconsin Public Service Corporation is also proposing a new natural gas-fired power plant at a cost of about $520 million. So I think we're at about $1.5 billion already just for immediate proposals that are already on the table in front of the commission.
Does MMAC have a position on these specific projects yet?
We're not interveners in any of those projects, but I think it goes to point out Cub has a compelling case to make to ratepayers for why they should voluntarily invest in them. I mean, when Cub suggested that downtown steam rates be doubled on businesses and residents in downtown Milwaukee, as an organization, we went out to businesses. We asked them, we said, invest in us so we can advocate for you. We had a compelling message to tell. I think those numbers that Kira just ticked off show they have a compelling case to make for voluntary contributions that they can make to ratepayers of this state if they're willing to do it instead relying on government to subsidize.
Can these people who you talk about on your website writing checks for $1, $5, $10, can you convince them, as he just said, to make up the $300,000 if it's lost? Now, the joint finance is a recommendation of the full ledge, but it's not yet law. But
right.
can you get these individual donors to go from $1 to $2, $5 to $10, $10 to $20?
Reaching them is the difficulty. Back in 1979, when Cub was first formed, Cub had the ability to put inserts in utility monthly bills that said, join Cub, and offered the opportunity for customers to be aware of Cub's existence and to join. In 1986, the United Supreme Court nixed that practice and refused to allow it going forward. Since then, it's been very difficult to reach the roughly 2.5 million individual residential customers around the state. Yeah. That's why every other state that has a consumer advocate office is funded by ratepayers or taxpayers, because the model doesn't work to go after the individuals.
Okay, look ahead quickly. Can you hold the joint finance position in the full ledge?
We'll see. I think we've made a compelling case that this is about providing a level playing field for all voices at the table before the PSC, and I'd like to think that this legislature will see the merit in having a level playing field for all the voices in this discussion, not just picking out one.
And you've got an editorial from the Journal Sentinel, I think the Green Bay Press Gazette, saying restore the funding.
In Racine.
In Racine. Are you pretty optimistic that you can overturn that joint finance motion?
I'm hopeful that we can. I'm hopeful that they understand the value that we do provide to customers through across the state, and that the Public Service Commission has this in hand. They can handle any issues with respect to the situation. They have the full discretion right now. There's no need to change anything.
Wonderful discussion. Hey, I have a question for you on a non-utility issue. MMAC, it's up to his eyes in the Bucks arena. Closed meetings, secret meetings, perhaps another one. I don't know, maybe even today. Is there going to be a Bucks Arena deal soon, real quickly?
I'm always an optimist. I think we're going to get this done. There are huge ramifications to the state. Positively, if we get it done, negatively, if it doesn't happen. So I think in the end, you'll have a coalition of the willing to get this done. Arena deals are always a heavy lift, but I'm an optimist.
And 20 years ago, we were talking about Miller Park.
You and so I on the floor of the state assembly arguing about it.
Very, very interesting. And the Bucks helped by winning last night. Kira Lair and Steve Boss, thanks so much for a discussion of a very important issue. So thank you so much.
Thanks Steve.
Thanks.